Stevie here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to comedian Josh Nassar. My favorite part of his interview was talking about his TikTok hustle. Thanks for tuning in. Peace. Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome, for the first time on the podcast, comedian Josh Nassar. Thanks for coming.
So great.
Do you like that?
I love all of it.
Yeah.
I was sitting here. I was so happy. I almost started going like this.
Oh, really?
Just happy. Yeah.
Can we give him some context? I met you at Starbucks, didn't I?
Tell him
the story.
So I'm at Starbucks. I've seen him before on one of your other podcasts. Mm-hmm. I've known your brother for like 20 years.
We're going to get into that.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah. Okay.
And I think I know you know my buddy Jeremiah Watkins. And then we just started talking. And then somehow we got into social media, which is where I focused my efforts on. And you were like, yo, that's cool. And then it was just like old friends. For 35 minutes. And then I'm like, I got to get back to work.
Yeah.
And then we talked for another 10, 15 minutes. And then I left.
We got along right away, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you get along with my brother well, too?
Yeah. So your brother, I've known for 20 years, but I would say more of like an acquaintance, because as long as I have known him, he's been like A-list dude. You know what I mean? Like he is
so
top tier, top, you know what I mean?
Like, you're a regular at the Comedy Store as well. Your name's written on the outside of it, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm a regular. It's just a whole different game when you get to his level, dude. You know what I mean?
There are levels in that world.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, now I do social media. My social media blew up to millions of followers now.
So your level
it's so different.
Because my brother doesn't have millions on TikTok like you.
It's whole different verticals, meaning he is like accomplished stand-up comic. Will sell out like comedy clubs and has been in movies and his podcast. I do short form videos on social media.
So when did you decide to go that route?
December 15th, 2020, in the middle of the pandemic.
And so what made you think of this? Let's talk about this, what you do.
So I have hidden cameras in my car or on my body, and I pull up next to people, I walk up and I say ridiculous, happy to positive things. Like,
can we do a hypothetical?
Okay, so I pull up next to a couple. Go, excuse me, sir. You guys look like a beautiful couple. You guys look like a beautiful. I was just wondering, sir, if I give you $500 million right now, would you be willing to not talk to your wife for a year? So I did that.
Oh.
And then he looked at his wife. He looked at me and he goes, I do it for free. And they drove away.
Oh.
So it's very happening.
So it's like real, like in-person reaction.
I have no idea what they're going to say. You know, excuse me, sir, quick question. What's one thing you regret not doing more of as a teenager?
What if they don't give you anything?
It hasn't happened. I mean, out of 1,000 videos, I've had maybe 3 or 4 bad reactions. And one time, I remember this friends in the car were like, stop being a dick, like to the guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, it's just like comedy. Like when you've done enough of it, you have bad sets, but you don't have like, you don't really bomb unless, you know what I mean? Like,
really?
Yeah, you don't bomb. Not what, you know, because then you just...
Yeah. Yeah, you know, right. Because you've done it for so long.
You've done it for so long.
But this TikTok thing is a new thing for you, though.
Yeah, but I did door-to-door. So I did door-to-door sales for 21 years. I actually sold frozen food door-to-door.
So go ahead, pitch me real quick.
Hey, sorry to bother. Wholesale steak, seafood, chicken.
I haven't answered the door yet.
Oh, that's okay. I'm knocking your door. I'm sorry. Your neighbor sent me. Do you know the Johnsons?
Yeah. Can I help you?
Yeah, I did. Got New York strips. Let me show you what I got. Run away. Yeah, you don't even know what's going on right now. You don't even know what the fuck is going on.
I know. You're just doing the hypnotic shit on me.
Yeah.
Okay, keep going.
So,
wait, who are you again?
You know the Johnsons down the street with the white minivan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got New York strips, Delmonico's, Rebecca's, T-Mobile's, hamburger patties. I tell you what, if I can't pack it for you, I'm going to give it to you free. By the way, what kind of steak's your favorite steak?
Sirloin.
Oh, great. You know what? I'm going to give you a good deal, but again, don't tell your neighbors. I don't even know what the fuck I'm saying at this point.
So you're just...
I mean, that's what I did for 20 years.
You're just... It's just off the top.
I sold to Keanu Reeves. I sold meat to Keanu Reeves, yeah.
You sold meat to Keanu Reeves.
I knocked on his door and he opened his door.
Let me hear about that story. Let's hear that, the Keanu Reeves meat story.
Nicest guy ever. I knocked on his door. I'm not going to say the street, but I know where his house is. And I knocked on his door.
You know where Keanu Reeves lives?
And as of 15 years ago, yeah.
Well, was that by accident?
Yeah, totally by accident. I just knocked on his door.
And Keanu Reeves
answered
his door.
He came out. He was wearing a jacket and a scarf. I don't remember if he had a shirt on or not, but he was just dope and nice. And
heard good things about him.
I literally said, so the pitch was, so when you sold to somebody, you wanted to make sure they bought again. So you were, even though I was talking fast or whatever, but the product was good. Like I sold and I was good at it. And I called them, hey, do you like everything? Do you want to return it? Whatever. Made sure.
You got Keanu Reeves' phone number?
Well, it was on the check.
Oh, that's right.
So I said, you buy one, you get one free. Right. And he didn't even take. He goes, I don't want the free one. You just keep it. Give it to somebody else.
Man. But he enjoyed the steak?
I hope so. I think he got once or twice he bought. So anyways.
Yeah.
That's how I learned to being on the street. I did that for 21 years. So yeah. I grew up on the street selling. Mm-hmm. So the idea of driving around and this time just saying nice, positive things to people.
Yeah.
So that was.
That's the vibe I got off you. I'm like, this guy's really open and likable and.
That's
you know,
all.
If, yeah. And you know what I noticed too when I was leaving? The people even out by the patio area knew who you were. You know, they had kids and they're like,
crazy.
You know, let Josh do his thing.
It's
and
crazy.
And I'm just thinking like, how does he know all these people here?
I guess people watch the internet, but I'm so grateful. Like, I just started this social media thing because I was lonely. I had no girlfriend.
So
I had
that's
nothing.
What made you do the TikTok? Why TikTok?
So I do Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Snap. I do all of them. I post the same exact video, second for second.
You mentioned this at Starbucks.
Count for count, music for music. I change nothing. I've never followed a trend. I've never done a hashtag. I've never done anything that I'm supposed to do. Everybody uploads their videos 9x16. I do mine vertical. You know, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I do mine horizontal. Mm-hmm. I will do black bars on top and bottom, but I don't even know what the rules are. It's kind of like...
You just make your own stuff up.
You just
do it.
Yeah, I mean...
And then how did you get million... Like, how many followers do you have on TikTok?
So now I have a total of 9.2 million followers across all platforms. I gain about 100,000 to 600,000 a month on average. And, like over 6 billion views now. It's pretty insane.
That's insane. So how do you make money doing TikTok? Is there ad revenue?
So it's ever expanding, meaning that so far I've been very... I've intermittently, but essentially, I haven't asked my audience for money. Like, hey, guys, I'm selling this. I've tried. I've had, like, little merch, but...
That's called e-begging.
Yes and no.
Okay.
I'll tell you why.
Yeah, there's
because
people who do. There's content creators that do. That's all they do.
I'm doing it now.
You're e-begging.
I'm now, but hold on. So, as of today, when I say today, as of right now, today, a few hours ago, I now have a merch store. That like, I had one before, but now, like, I have a real one. I joined up with a company. Like, it's really good products.
But
so,
that's not really e-begging.
So that's one thing. So
that's a different
thing.
The
second one is they have this new thing called live matching. So it's on TikTok. It came from Twitch.
And then you told me about this.
I've done it for 31 days, and I'm in the top 10% of either the country or the world at the moment doing this.
Can you get a little bit more in detail of what that is? Like, what are you competing for?
So I'm still figuring it out. And I literally talked to my friends, even my therapist. I'm like, I don't get it. But so essentially, I'm on. I could show you right now. I go on and then you press a button to match with somebody. And you match. Hey, how you doing? Where are you from? Oh, I live in Los Angeles. Oh, I'm in, Kenya. I'm in Ethiopia. I'm in Russia. Syria. I've matched.
So
with
it's their following versus your following.
Yeah, and then people do gifts, and then there's strategies and different little gifts, gifting things you can give, and you can give a boosting glove. What is a boosting glove? Well, when you throw a boosting glove, everybody's gifts count 3 to 5 times.
What's a gift? Is that money?
It's a gift. People give gifts. It's like, but it's coin. It's in the form of little emojis.
But does that translate into money?
That translates into money.
So that is e-begging.
That is essentially what you're doing now.
Yeah.
But
can we do one right now and see how you do?
No.
Okay.
I'll tell you why. I'm so new to it. I'm still learning. But the nice thing is, like, we build this crazy community on there. Like, I message with these people and like they chat and they're like, I ask
like
them.
Your family or something?
We call them like the family in a community. And they say to me, what they literally say is they go, hey, this is just my little way of supporting you. I like your videos. I like what you're doing. And I know you're out there and I'd like to support you. So
that's,
it's very,
that's cool.
It's, there's no weirdness. There's no like, it's just, it's very transparent. Yeah. And I say, and I make sure I say hundreds of times when I do the live, I go, hey, by the way, if you can't give, I don't really care. All you have to do is tap the screen. So when you tap the screen, it pushes it out to more people because it tells the algorithm, hey, people are engaged. So there is maybe 2,000, 3,000 people who aren't alive who don't give anything, but they're just as important because they're tapping the screen
and helping
out.
Well, it's entertaining to them to watch.
And I've gotten a lot of that. People go, hey, I had some lady message me. She said, I'm going through a lot of stuff. She is, she teaches kids with special needs.
Yeah.
And she goes, it's my guilty pleasure. It's my TikToks, my guilt.
Oh,
so it's just her.
Right. But
so,
what I don't get is, what are you guys competing for? Is it
it's more points? No, more points.
But how do you compete? Just by being you?
By being you. And what you do is you actually mute the other person. You mute the other person. So it's just you and your team. And then, you know, the points go up and down. And by the way, the reason I'm not describing accurately, when I tell you I've only done this 31 days.
So you don't really know what it is.
I'm still figuring out how to describe it in a succinct, like the words. And I literally talked to my therapist. I'm like, why are people giving? He says, well, who are you talking to? I go, I'm talking to people all over the world. And he said, this is their entertainment. This is like when they go to the movies.
Oh,
this
that's
is their TV
that's
show.
That's what I was thinking.
That's
too.
What it is. He goes, he goes, think of it like that. And then I go, oh, okay. So I'm still figuring it out. But I just know that I literally message with people after, and they're picking up like when I go on tour doing stand up, I'm going to hang out with them. Like, we're going to go eat dinner. Like, they're nice.
So this is helping. It's kind of infusing into your stand up world, too.
That's the whole reason I'm doing it.
So you wanted to translate into ticket sales and more
that's what I
to
do.
Fill in the seats.
Yeah. That's the whole reason I do social media. I just haven't figured out how to get them yet to my stand up because I haven't posted a lot of stand up yet.
Do you do a podcasting?
No.
How come you're not doing that?
Because this is too much.
It's too much. How much does this take up, this TikTok
it's
thing?
It's so much. I do this.
Because you look tired when you came
15
in here.
Hours
I could
a
see
day.
It in your eyes.
Let me tell you what. It is no joke. I will edit until 2 in the morning. I'm up at 8 in the morning. I'm polishing off the edit. I'm doing a live for one platform. I'm doing a live for another platform. I'm filming on the way to the gym. I go to the gym. I come and do another live. I edit. I do another live. Like, it's no joke, dude.
It's no joke.
It's no joke. But so, the wonderful thing is I now, I'm so grateful to the people that are following, like, because, like, I don't have to wait for ABC or NBC to tell me I'm good enough.
Right.
I don't have to wait for somebody to tell me I'm good enough.
Did you, now, since you brought that up, you've had some experiences with dealing with networks and the biz.
Oh, I was on TV shows.
Well, let's talk about that. Like,
yeah, so I.
So
regular,
I want to hear some good and bad experiences.
So,
the auditioning.
In
process.
In the '90s, I was on a show called Singled Out. I was on 105 episodes with Jenny McCarthy.
Really?
And, yeah, I was the crowd warm up guy.
Oh.
I did crowd warm up for 7 years.
From MTV.
Yeah, and then I was on 100 episodes, 105 episodes, doing characters.
Oh wow!
And then I was on a show called American Muscle, so I flew around the world interviewing bodybuilders.
Yeah.
Because I was really muscular, and I was a comedian. And then I was on a workout show with Keanu Tom back in the late 90s, which was a workout show 5 and 7 every morning.
So you had to audition for this stuff.
Oh, yeah, I auditioned. Like, I was in acting school. I went to Meisner and I studied all that.
Oh, you went to Meisner?
Yeah. I went to Playhouse West and I studied for 7 years.
Oh, my goodness.
And I hated it. I'd rather shoot myself in the face.
Really?
Sad actors.
So do you still have like agents? And are you with an agency right now?
I was... I mean, I did the whole thing. I was on Sons of Anarchy for a while. Like, I did the whole acting thing.
You did it.
But I never, like, talking about Bobby, your brother. Yo, this dude was in fucking movies. I was like a day player. Like, you know what I mean?
He wasn't in, like, he had, like, little support roles. He wasn't,
yeah,
like.
Yeah, it's a whole different ballgame. It's like.
So if you're in a movie, just even a small role that, like, bumps
it's
you
just
up?
It's just a whole different cachet. I don't know how to say it. Like, you got, like. 5% of the comedians that are actually doing it that are known that will sell out comedy clubs that are just, you know, your brother's.
Oh,
one
I'll
of
give
them.
You an example though, just to combat what you just said. What about Theo? He hasn't been in that many movies and he's selling out stadiums.
Right. What I'm talking about is that's the level I'm talking about. That cachet. Now it's podcasting up. That cachet. That's the upper level. I mean, how many specials has Theo shot?
I don't know. That's your
more
world.
Than several on Netflix. You know what I mean? The dude sells out his podcast.
Stuff,
he didn't come from nowhere. He was on MTV first.
That's
you know what I mean?
Right.
So
not a lot of people know that.
No,
he did,
no,
he did
no.
Do
so
some of that.
There's just a whole different game. It's like the top 5%. I never could crack it. I wasn't the cool kid.
So at the Comedy Store, is it like high school? Like as far as the cool kid, like just seniority and all that. As far as like, can you just call the casting?
Oh, I don't get booked. I'm a regular.
What's going on with that, bro? That why? Well,
couldn't tell you.
So this is what we're talking about, the politics in the game.
I don't even know it's politics. I don't even know what it is.
But do you call in?
I call, yeah. Every week I put in my avails and never get spots.
So when do you call in? On Monday morning or something?
Sunday they send out the avails. It is what it is.
But I want to know, how do they go about choosing who gets on the lineup?
Well, they have the bookers there, and the bookers will choose who they want on the lineup. And I'm just not in that cycle right now.
Can I give you a little hypothetical of what I think might be going on? They might choose this person over this other person because this person was on such and such podcast or had a feature here or
I don't know,
something like that. Maybe.
I mean, I don't know, honestly. Like, I got enough. I can get people out. I can get people in the seats. I have 9 million followers. I see some of the people they book. But my story is there's thousands of comedians. So think about how many in
No, I'm talking about specifically the Comedy Store.
I'm talking about specifically comedy. There's thousands of comedians.
There's thousands there.
I would say there's at least 1,000 comedians that put in their avails every week.
Thousands.
If not, let's just say 500. Let's just say 500.
That's still a lot, Josh.
Right. And there's only how many spots?
15?
Yeah, a night. So you're talking about...
Well, we're talking about the original room.
Uh-huh.
15.
Yeah, and then you have the outside produce shows. Oh. Hold on. So think about what a booker has to go through, okay? So you have... Hold on. Okay, you have all the industry comps. So agents and managers are calling, hey, can you get my client up? Then you have the outside produce shows. So you can't put people there because they're booking people. They're going to bring people. So you may have 50 spots to book a week, if not 10 or 5 or 1. Because you have so many other things going on.
I didn't even realize that. So these comedians, agents, and managers call the Comedy Store for availability?
I would say, okay, think about this. You have Theo Von. I'm just giving. Whitney Cummings. You have the big dogs.
Go ahead. Go down the list.
You're going to give those spots to the big dog. Your brother, you give those spots. So they take up 30 of those spots.
So what time slots? That's from 9:15 on or something like that? Let's just say 9:45.
Yeah, let's say 9:45 to 11:30, right? But,
okay.
And they all deserve spots because they sell fuckload of tickets. And you put them in the marquee, they're going to sell tickets.
But then who takes up the 7 o'clock?
Well, there's no 7. It starts at 9.
Okay, then who gets the 9?
Right, from nine to like 11:30 is the big wigs, the Neil Brennans, you know, Chris Rock,
Mark
stage.
Maron.
And these dudes are like top 1% in the world. So hold on, so you go 9 to 11:30, right?
Okay.
Then and I'm just making it up, but then you have 11:30, 12:30, 1:30, right? So you only have 3.5 hours to book people, and so you're basically only booking eight.
So everyone's competing for the last 3 or 4 spots. Is that what you're saying?
The last 3 or 4 hours. You're basically competing.
Oh, no, 3, 4 hours. So that's more than 3 or 4 because it's 15-minute sets, right?
Yeah. So you're competing with 12. Let's say it's 12 or 14 people, and you have 500 people who want 12 spots.
But how do they go about?
I wouldn't want that job.
Have you ever wondered that?
I know.
How they go about picking? Like, is there an algorithm in that? Or
no, I would just say that the booker has a very, very hard job. By the way, we still haven't got into... That's the huge celebrities. Then we haven't gotten into...
Medium tier.
Now you got... Or up and coming, right?
Oh, they were just on a show.
They just got a show, or they're shooting a Netflix, or they're getting... Or somebody says,
hey... Or they went to Montreal, or...
Or, hey, somebody's something. Getting ready for Jimmy Fallon, so they need a set. Well, okay, we got to get them on stage. So it's one of the hardest jobs, I think, in my opinion, in Los Angeles to be a comedy booker, because you don't... You think, oh, I got so many spots. No, they don't have a lot of spots to give.
There's not a lot of spots.
No, and also, how many emails and texts are they getting a day?
Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, I bet. Hundreds.
So what I learned, though, and not to get too deep on here, but I remember when Eminem came out.
Yeah.
And he was the only white rapper.
Mm-hmm.
There was really no Vanilla Ice before him, but he was the only white rapper.
Well, there was Everlast and the Beastie Boys.
But a rapper specifically for hip-hop. Like, there really wasn't... Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does.
And I guess, and even those other people you said, he basically, my idea is, he goes, I'm just going to get so good you can't be denied. So I don't put this on the bookers.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what, Matt Rife doesn't give a fuck. Matt Rife will sell out. They'll book him anywhere because he'll sell out.
But he did it
himself.
Himself. That's in an unconventional way.
He didn't wait for the booker.
So how did he get up there again? Let's
go
down.
So I'm paraphrasing what I heard, could be wrong. Essentially, he didn't want to upload a video and his friend's like, upload. He's like, no. And he was in Vegas. He's like, ah, fine, I'll upload this video. I'm paraphrasing. And he uploaded the video and he woke up the next day and had like 20 million views. And then all of his videos went. But
it was through a video?
But he had been doing the work in the clubs for how many? They're in between 7, 10, 15, 20 years to become a great comedian. So he, when he was in the position, he can handle himself. I like him. I think everything about him. I haven't seen his comedy. I like him as a person.
There's a lot of haters towards. Yeah, you don't even pay attention. I mean, he's just doing his thing.
Every time I've seen that dude, he's been, what up, Josh? Every time, hi, how are you? Nice, kind.
Just a nice guy.
Every time, totally a normal dude.
Are you a New York guy?
Maryland.
Okay, I knew you. I felt like an East Coast.
Yeah, Maryland, and
you.
Then I went to Penn State, and then I.
Oh, you went to Penn State.
Yeah, and then I knew I wanted to be on TV, so I moved out.
Shout out to the Nittany Lions. They have the best Division I wrestling program in the country.
Yeah, I went there with Kurt Angle was there at the time.
Oh.
Yeah, Kurt Angle was there at the time. No, he was at Clarion. Excuse me.
Okay.
And then I went to Penn State, but yeah, they're dope.
That's Big Ten, Big mm-hmm. Ten wrestling. Yeah. And then what was it like? I mean, did you do comedy when you're on the
East
Coast?
So I don't want to brag, but I was a cheerleader at Penn State. What a loser.
No, I mean,
so
I'm sure.
It was crazy.
I'm sure you met a lot of females that way.
Oh, they were. It was like a family. We traveled around the country together.
You know, you could, like, shout out to Chappelle Lacey, because Chappelle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you could flip. You could flip.
I could
and
flip.
Throw and,
you throw the girls and do the back tucks and all that.
You could do that? You.
I could do it. Really? At the time, I can't do it now.
But you used to be able to do that? Mm-hmm. And then did you have to try out? Was there a tryout?
Well, I tried out, and there was a thing called Mic Man. So I wanted to do that because you had a mic in front of 100,000 people.
Yeah.
And I didn't get that, but I was like the alternate person because mm-hmm. they had a guy, and essentially it would be like, we are Penn State. So you would be half the stadium. We are.
Penn State, yeah.
So,
yeah.
So they gave me the mic once. I think the guy had laryngitis
or
whatever.
So you're the hype dude.
Well, they gave me the mic, and I started to cheer, but there's a superseding announcer, you know, the person who calls the plays, and he had just said right before I didn't hear, can we have a moment of silence for her? And I did, we are. And I got 100,000 boo, boo. That was the last time I did it.
Do you write scripts and stuff, like movie ideas as well?
No.
I just thought of one for you. Why don't you do a male, you know how, like, have you seen Bring It On with Kirsten Dunst?
Yeah.
Why don't you do a male cheerleading movie, and then you could cast you and Chappelle in it.
Oh, really? But
it's just about the male cheerleading experience.
I think we've aged out of it, though. I got to be honest. I don't really look like a cheerleader anymore, do I?
No, but you could write it. You could write it, and then you could write. I mean, that's just an idea.
You know what? I'll tell you something. Not to get too deep.
Yeah.
I'm done with the Hollywood waiting for them to. So then you write a movie, right? And it's really good. And then you take it to Hollywood, and then 3 years later they go, no.
How does that even work? Let's say you have a golden script.
I've sold TV shows before.
Okay, so you have a golden idea.
So we sold a show. It was me and two other comedians. We sold an idea for a show. And it was a kind of like a roasting type show. And we submitted all of the materials. We went and we submitted all the materials. And they said, these questions are too racy. These questions are too, it's too much. It's because we're comedians. We're writing. It's a roasting show.
Yeah.
So then they gave us 100.
Who's they?
I'm not going to say the name of the network. Comedy Central.
No. But who, like, as far as on a broader sense, are they producers or
writers?
Well,
we got network notes. Okay. So whatever the network was. Now, we were if the show went to series, I would have gotten 2. Let me walk through the math of this. I would have gotten 2.5%. Well, that's not a lot of money. But if you're doing 65 episodes, right, and you're going to
how much you make an episode?
Well, let's say the budget was 200,000 per episode. I'm just making it up.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to get two performed. I'm making $4,000 or $5,000 an episode. If they do 65 episodes, right?
It adds up. Yeah.
And then you do syndication. So, but if they don't sell it, then you get nothing. So hold on. So after 2.5 years, remember the notes were, it's too racy. They gave us $100,000 to all of it was used on the production, right? We didn't get anything of that. And then the note that came back, because we dumbed down the questions, the note that came back after we filmed everything, after told us too racy, is, you know, we liked it, but it wasn't racy enough. So after 2.5 years, 2.5% of $100,000, after 2.5 years of writing and doing mock-ups and calling comedians in and running game throughs and boards and typing and everything, I made $2,500. Now, if it went to series, that's amazing. So
you make that taking a shit doing your TikTok right now.
I mean, I don't know if I would make it taking a shit doing my TikTok. But
I
yes,
know, but
yeah,
you
yeah.
know what I mean? That's just, you know, I just
so,
use that as an example.
And also, too,
but, you know, you can make that.
We
like,
knew the show
should
be racy. We knew it should be racy. We knew it should be racy.
Yeah.
So I prefer not to wait for somebody to tell me you're good. Like, we're filming a podcast right now. You're not waiting for somebody to tell you you're good enough.
Just do it. This is my own. Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the wonderful thing about this thing.
That's why I like it.
You can run a business from here.
Yeah,
and
that's what you do. You can live stream on that. And
well,
then,
think
yeah.
about this. My fans who are really kind and generous, they're literally like, I want to support you. I'd like to give you $3 or $4 or $5, whatever they give me.
Yeah, that's a kind gesture.
Right?
You know? Yeah.
How cool is that?
That's really cool.
And your brother's podcast, people watch. And
yeah. You know, even with the podcast thing, it's similar. Like, not everyone's, like, fucking, like, doing my brother Theo's doing or...
No.
You know, there's, like, you're either up here or, like, way, like, the jump is way down
and that's,
here.
And that's the same way at comedy.
Yeah, that's
comedy
how it is
store.
In podcasting, is too.
That's the way it is comedy.
Like,
you're either up here or... And the thing is, 1,000 people can be a comic. Sorry. Besides up here, 1,000 people can do the job. So, you can't...
So then what's... Then you need to have what it's politics in and like.
I don't know. Right? I don't know. I have
no,
no
idea. You said you auditioned as well back in the day, right?
Mitzi passed me.
No, I'm talking not just for the Comedy Store. I'm just saying for acting roles.
Oh yeah, I auditioned. Yeah, I was good.
Now, have you done this where you're up for a movie, and you make it to the very last callback, and you didn't get it?
Mine was TV shows.
Yeah, let's
and,
hear about
that. I didn't audition for that many, but when I auditioned, I did pretty darn good. I would also get really, really nervous. And,
well,
I think that's
natural.
But I would get really, really... I had a problem memorizing lines. I don't know why. It was hard for me to memorize lines. Just my mind. I wasn't good at it. And when I would get nervous, I couldn't remember the lines as much. So if you're kind to remember lines and you're acting... But when I did up like Sons of Anarchy, the lines were kind of in line... Mm-hmm. And I was really like a jerk cop, and I'm good at flipping into that kind of mean person mode.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And the casting director, who's great, she's like, you're really good at that. And I'll never forget. I was like, thank you. She's like, you really believe it, you know? And in fact, it was really cool. This was really exciting. So there was two roles. I think it was one line each, and they were going to give it to two people. And one of the guys actually, something happened where he booked something in San Diego or whatever. So he's like, sorry, I can't do it. So the casting and the writers go, we'll have one person do both of them.
You.
Well, I just came in and auditioned. And then I got there and I remember the director going, we like having you on set. I'm like, thanks. And they just kept bringing me back. Just little roles, get line here, line there.
How much you make for those little roles?
Oh, not a lot.
Is that day pay?
Just
like,
day
how
pay.
How does that work?
Day pay and then residuals. Nothing
crazy. But
that's
crazy. Under SAG, AFTRA?
Under SAG, AFTRA. So I made enough for health insurance, but no, it's not
dude,
a lot.
Dude, just run it down. Like, how much do they, like, for a day pay, how much do you make a day for a full
I
day?
I think for a full day.
And you get a free meal, right?
Well, the great thing was.
Get down. Let's get it.
Because I came on there in season 6 and 7, and that was already a successful show. So they had money for caterers. So I walked in. It's like walking into an expensive wedding. You're like, holy shit, this is amazing. Everybody was nice. Everybody was probably rich. Everybody was happy because the show was a number one hit already.
So what did the catering offer? Can you give me a little hypothetical on that?
So you'd walk in the morning. Would you like some egg whites? Yeah. Would you like avocado? Yeah. Would you like some fresh cream? Well, yeah. You know, it was like... It was really, really
orange juice.
It was just
canned sodas.
It was anything you wanted. It was really nice. And the greatest thing about that.
What if you brought your backpack and every day you showed up, you were taking.
You took from craft services?
Yeah, you took from craft services.
Well, I assume somebody would see you.
And a producer caught you.
Yeah, you would get fired. Or they wouldn't bring you back. Like, what are you doing?
That's a no-no.
Dude, there are lunatics on set. My favorite are the people that do that kind of shit. There are people that do that all the time.
I want to see a show about that.
You want to see a show about the...
I want to see a show...
Wait, wasn't that Extras? Wasn't that Ricky Gervais? Didn't he have a show called Extras? Wasn't that about that?
Oh, there's already... That already happened?
I think he did. Was that a show, Extras? I think that's what it was about.
No, but Extras That Steal.
Yeah.
So the show was about Extras That Steal?
Hold on. You want a whole fucking
show? I want a whole show about just watch, like filming extras, like hidden cameras.
And how long would you watch this?
I don't know. I think it'd be interesting. Wouldn't
I think that would be the most boring fucking show ever in the fucking... What are you talking about?
What do you mean?
You want to watch an hour a week?
Yeah, well, no.
A comedy dramedy about...
Break it down to 30-minute segments.
So you want a 30-minute segment of somebody stealing chips?
Yeah.
And how many times could you watch that?
What's their behavior? I want to see like their psychology.
30 minutes of that.
Yeah.
And then you'd watch it again the next week.
Yeah, because it's a different person doing the same thing.
That's insane.
No?
This is insane.
Okay, so they would get fired for 100%. They'd get fired.
Yeah.
But you said there's insane people on set that do that.
Yeah, but I don't want to watch that 30 minutes a week after week.
But these people that do that, they don't get caught, do they?
Well, I have no idea.
Okay.
What the fuck are we talking about? What the fuck? How the fuck? It's interesting. He wants to watch. You want to watch people taking food from craft services.
Yeah.
That's insane.
I know. Well, it's interesting to me. It's interesting. Yeah.
Genius. It's genius.
I love it. It's
I know.
Yeah, because I like crime documentaries and the psychology, the criminal psychology videos. And it's kind of, you're kind of dipping into that world, you know? You're like, because you know why?
No.
There's a sign of desperation.
No,
that
no,
person,
no.
A person that stoops that low,
no!
Is so desperate for
you're
anything.
Watching a crime documentary.
That's
and then
what it is. It's that's what it is. That's what it is. You know what?
Yes,
I
ma'am.
Gotta be honest with you.
Yes, ma'am.
When I was working at Circle K, when I lived in Arizona, I was a clerk there. The reason why I used to do that.
You used to what?
Steal.
What did you steal?
Everything.
Really?
Frozen pizzas, their hot dogs, cigarettes, beer, everything. I lived off that Circle K. That's why. So that's the thing. The reason why I want to see that, people do that, is because I want to know, are they living off that?
You know, by the way, you just reminded me, there was a guy in high school.
Yeah.
He worked at Circuit City, which is no longer in existence.
I remember Circuit City.
Okay. And he worked in the warehouse.
Oh, no.
Right? And the warehouse... had like a place to back up. Like, so let's say you and I were there, we bought a TV. They go, okay, here's your receipt. Go around the back. I'll be waiting in the warehouse, you know, like in the back. He would just push TVs and shit out and all of our friends would just come pick it up.
There you go.
I just remembered that. I haven't thought about that in how many years.
That's a whole different thing.
He was, I don't think he got in trouble either.
Dude.
He would just wheel out TVs and anything. Because it look, I don't know if the cameras, I don't know how he did it, but I remember vividly he did that.
The manager didn't take notice to something like that?
I don't remember how it all worked, but I know for a fact that he did that. I don't know if he wrote it. I just don't know.
But that's different than taking a Rice Krispie treat on one of your
Which one would you rather watch?
The TV.
Yeah, what's wrong with you? And do you see this is what happens in a pitch? Yeah. You pitch a TV show.
And then that's when they catch
and
you.
And then they go,
They catch you on a weakness, don't they?
Yeah, they catch you on a weakness. They catch you on a weakness.
Right, and they shine a flashlight on it, don't they?
Yep.
Yeah. So if you were the executive, you would have shot me down right there.
1,000%.
You would have just shot me down.
1,000? What are you talking about?
You know the beauty about the internet now?
Yeah.
I could just do it myself. Or I could do something like that.
And... there's a saying, but you don't need everyone to like you. Like, let's say, let's just make it up. Let's say you have 10,000 followers. I'm just making a number up. Mm-hmm. And each one of them give you $1 a month. You could live on $10,000.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Let's say it's $5,000. So you don't need a bazillion people to love who you are.
Yeah. You just need, how many do you need technically?
Well, now it depends on the lifestyle you want to live, but it also... There's all these subscription services now.
Patreon.
I don't do any of that.
Really?
No. So far, I really haven't asked my audience to give me anything other than what I started 30 days ago, where they're sending gifts, and the merch hasn't even. I tried to merch a little bit. I sold, I don't know, 18 T-shirts. So now I'm like, hey, let me try this, and I'm actually gonna say, hey guys, if you want to support more great videos, here's my stuff. So I've never asked like, hi. I think I wanted to build a solid foundation first and be able to have money coming in. Like I did the deal with Hyundai. Hyundai gave me a car and I just gave it to a stranger. They just literally gave me a car, and I was
wait a minute. Hyundai reached out to you?
Yeah, an advertising agent reached out, and they gave me a car. So I wanted to get to the level where I could give. What I want to do in life
is give things away.
I want companies to give me shit. I won't keep it at all, ever. I just want to be the dude that just gives shit away. They'll pay me a fee to do that, but I want to just give shit away.
And they get to keep the car? Like, you just give it to them?
I gave them the car. We made sure we negotiated.
How happy was that person? Did they cry in front of you?
To be honest, if I had to reshoot it, I would shoot it at a different time. We shot it in the beginning of the day. So it wasn't like she was like 9 in the morning. So she was shocked. She was like, wait, what? Like, she couldn't function.
She couldn't function.
Like, wait, what?
She can process what was happening.
Then what we found out afterwards is she was upside down on her current car payments, where the car, she was making payments, but she couldn't sell it because car prices had dropped. So the car wasn't worth. It was beat up. She had to park far away because she was embarrassed. Her family was having to borrow a car. It was during the pandemic. So we did a real good mitzvah. We did something really, really cool.
Wow.
So we really helped somebody. And she was really, really kind. And it was nice. And so we gave her the car. And then that was like the show car. And then we said, we're going to go down. What color do you want? And then she went down to the Hyundai down in like Culver City, wherever it was.
Oh, my goodness.
And she took a video. And we FaceTimed. And she goes, look at me with that car.
Fantastic.
So that's what I want to do. I want to be that person that gives things away.
Yeah, that's good energy, man. Yeah. So what other situations has that had? Like, the other companies reach out to you?
I did one for a Pilot Flying J, which is a gas station brand, and they were giving away. It was silly. They were giving away free sunscreen, and they said, we're trying to combat left arm tan, which is when your arm is out the window.
Oh,
they were just promoting.
Yeah.
I did one for Gel Blasters, where I just went to the park over here, and we just wanted to get strangers to play the game with us. Mm-hmm, and they were like, and they started shooting.
Yeah.
The cool thing is, like, I want to do something like, I don't know, 1-800-Flowers, where I just go around and give dudes flowers, and here's a grand. And they'll be like, hey, by the way,
that's amazing.
Yeah, that's what I want to
do. Yeah.
And with that will normalize giving roses, or like, let's say it's Pampers, and I walk up to you and your girl, and I do funny, ha-ha, and I go, by the way, I see that you have a young baby here. Pampers is going to give you unlimited Pampers for the rest
and
of the baby's life.
Camera.
And here's 50 grand towards the baby's college. That's what I want to do.
Oh, wow. That's
so I want to be just a dude to give shit away.
Yeah,
so it can be anything.
Yeah.
Flowers, doesn't matter. Just let me give it away. That's what I want to do.
That's what you want to do.
Mr. Beast does it. I mean, there are people that are doing it, but no one's doing it with comedy yet.
So that's you.
I just want to do what Mr. Beast does.
And that guy, I mean, that guy's just, he's one of the biggest, right?
From what I understand, and I could be totally off. He was offered $1 billion for his channel. He's like, no, I'm good.
His YouTube?
He's like, maybe $10 billion, maybe, you know.
What, his YouTube?
All of it, yeah. His production company. His
billion?
YouTube. Yeah, he was offered $1 billion.
Million?
A billion.
Billion.
I could be wrong, but that's what it was. Yeah, he's the top. He just gave away 26 Teslas for his 26th birthday.
Jeez.
Yeah. Lord. I just want to do that.
Oh, my goodness. So when do you have time for recreation or dating or...
So I got a great girl right now who is amazing.
Oh, so how long have you been with her?
Coming up on 2 years. Yeah, I'll marry her.
And how's she with your lifestyle? Like,
she is the most calm, chill. First of all, I'm not joking, 10 times smarter than me.
You're a pretty smart guy.
Yeah, no, this girl, I'm like, yo, dude, I can't. I almost broke up with her because I couldn't keep up. I was like, yo, dude, I can't keep up.
How'd y'all meet?
I saw her. She was actually bartending at the time. And this loud voice in my head was like, wow, this woman's smart. Not like, well, look at this. Look, she's hot. I was like, wow, she's smart.
But you noticed the beauty first before the brains.
No, I heard her talking.
Come on, let's keep it 100.
Okay.
You noticed she was attractive.
Yeah, no.
You heard her before you saw her.
I saw her, and that's not what I noticed. I heard her talking, and I was like, I'm keeping it 200.
Okay.
You told me to keep it 200.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, no. She's like... Everything she does, she's successful. She's dope. She went to the Growling. She's at the highest level.
So
she went to production.
She's
at the highest level.
Yeah, what did you hear that caught your attention?
I heard her talk.
About her.
I heard her.
Was it the tone? Was it the content of her conversation?
I just remember a loud voice in my head going, wow, this woman's very smart. And then I talked to her a little bit myself, and I was like, wow. And I said, hey, would you like to go out? We went out to like eat tacos or whatever. And then we dated for a while. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, this is... She's very calming because this social media shit is no game. Because one day you're up and the next day you're banned, and then you appeal it, and then you're up, and you make $100 million, and then make zero, and then you lose everything. It's
that's how I feel about YouTube.
It's
some weeks it's
so
down,
times
some,
that by five, because I'm on all five platforms, and the craziness
oh, gosh,
of it.
Gosh, yeah.
It's
so you run by numbers. It's a number thing.
And then you have mostly positive, but you get some negative people, you know?
Absolutely.
I get very, very few, luckily.
But you read the comments and everything?
I went to therapy over it, and I'm now at the point where I just delete it. I don't even register it.
Because they get real personal, man.
Yeah, I just delete it.
I can't do it either.
Well, I had to go to therapy over it, and I worked on that.
It'll fuck up my whole day.
Yeah, I don't do that anymore.
Because it's not just, it's not like a rant. It's like a personalized attack.
Oh, yeah, I get that.
I don't want to give you a specific example, but they obviously know something about me or...
It doesn't matter.
And they just...
But we're all going to die. Think about this. Yeah. None of it matters. Well, let me ask you.
So you went to therapy. It was bugging you that much.
Why? But I go to therapy, and I went, and I specifically said, I need to learn about this.
About not reading this.
About letting that affect me. Because I used to call the people.
So
I would find them, and I would call them.
So how did you get past that?
I realized that a lot of it was my childhood, meaning that I was picked on and bullied as a kid. Oh, I'm just feeling that same thing. I'm being picked on and bullied. But then we walk through it. You go, wait, hold on a second. I don't know them. One, two, they're not paying my bills. And then also, I'll get 1,000 great comments. People that will message me, hey, I'm going through chemotherapy. I literally watch your videos when I'm getting the drip of chemo, and it makes me forget and laugh. And I'm like, well, that's pretty crazy. Or I'm going through a really dark time and your videos are reminding me that things can get better. I'm like, whoa, I get really kind videos.
So why is it that you can't focus on all the kind stuff and then you focus on the one or two bad ones?
Well, that's actually, in therapy, we talked about it. That is fear-based, and that comes from pretty much probably prehistoric and survival. So we go, and I don't remember the exact terminology, but the idea is...
There's a term for it.
Well, that's something that can hurt you. So you focus on that because that can hurt you.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's something that our brain can, perceives as, oh, that's a threat. And there's an actual terminology, and I can't remember what my therapist said.
That makes sense, though, yeah.
It's like a stand-up comic. When you're on stage and you have 1,000 people laughing and two people in the front are not, and you go, what are you guys laughing? No, you don't do that anymore because you got 998. But that's because it's fear-based. They could get up, they could stab you, kick you, punch you.
Yeah, so that you focus on the threatening thing. So it's an instinctual thing.
That's what I found out for me.
Instinctual survival method.
That's one theory.
To protect yourself.
Well, yeah, because you don't know
what you're saying.
Yeah. So now I just delete them. When I tell you I delete them, I'm almost really good at it. I'm telling you, I used to call them. I would find them. I would find their work. I would call their work. I'd be like, hey, I'm not that dude.
Oh, you got that far into it.
Oh, yeah. I would call the work and they would pick up, hey, I'm not the dude on the internet, dude. I'm like, I'm not that dude. Like, I would.
Because you're trying to, what's the reasoning behind that?
Because they would say.
You need to convince them that they're wrong and you're right.
No, because they were mean to me and then they were mean to other people in the comments. They were trolls.
Yeah.
And they would be, they would say racist things and really bad. Like if somebody says something bad, but they would say when people were like mean.
They take it that far as
that's what I was
racial.
Saying. That's when I would call them. And then I would be like, hey, dude. And they'd be like, oh, I'm sorry. I go, no,
but
dude.
How'd you even get their info like that?
Oh, man, you can find people.
No, through a comment?
Well, you look at their name, right? And then you see their picture.
It's a different name. It's some.
Well, but look, I did this a handful of times where I was like, if people were really, really, really over the line, like I did a video and there's a woman and she was overweight, okay? And she was transgender and somebody was said, there were several people that said something mean. And I was like, dude, what happens if this woman sees this? Why would you do that? You know what I mean? This woman probably has gotten so much stuff in her life. Leave her alone.
Yeah.
And I was like, so, but then in therapy the next week I go, hey, I can't be calling people because... You know, and actually made me stop was I saw on Jimmy Kimmel celebrity mean tweets. Do you ever see them when they read that?
Oh, yeah.
So I go, oh, they get it. I go, oh, they get it too. Oh, okay.
Right. So it's just, it just exists out there. It's just something that's out there.
You also never know what somebody's going through. You don't know if they have a mental disability. Like, you don't know.
Okay, so you know, like how I told you about that idea about I want to see those people steal through craft services?
Yeah.
This is my new idea. I want to see a show on those people that do things like that. Trolls.
Yeah.
Internet trolls. I want to, like a documentary.
Can I tell you my idea for a horror movie?
Okay, go ahead. Is it?
It's exact same thing.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
It's so like the name of it is called Trolls, the name of the movie.
But it already exists. There is a Trolls out there, a horror movie.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
What's it about?
It's about trolls. It's a horror movie.
It's about what?
Like real trolls. Yeah, like no, this one. Trolls.
Okay, so we'll change the name.
Okay.
But essentially, you ever seen a movie Hostel? Like, it was like really graphic, like one of those really graphic horror movies.
I haven't seen that one.
The serial killer person, right?
Oh, so it's a slasher?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a social media personality, or she's a social media personality.
Yeah.
And when people troll him, he then finds them.
Through the internet?
Through the internet, and then he does his slashing. That's it. That's the idea for the pitch. That's the pitch.
And then he finds them on the internet and just kills them.
Did you ever seen, like, the Craigslist Killer?
No.
Oh, it's like one of these crazy movies. It's just because people are so mean for no reason. Just be kind. Try your best to be kind.
But I want to know the psychology of where, do they live in a basement? What led them to do these actions? Because a lot of them will just create a whole different email just to do that.
I've had people, I block people, and then they'll come back on and write it again. Haha, I thought you could block me. And I block them 4 or 5 times.
But that's the craziness. They're willing to create other email. Yeah. There's only so many hours in a day, man.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
crazy. You know what I'm saying? So I want to know what that's a crazy life.
Yeah. But that's why I learned. Okay, I sent a call to a few people. I was like, hey, come on, man. Why would you do that? I'm not that dude. Like, you know, be kind.
Yeah.
And then after I went to therapy over, because by the way, keep in mind, I went from 0 views to about 100 million views in about a month.
What?
I had 1 billion views on YouTube in 10 months and 10 days. So I got inundated with tens of thousands. It was like all day long.
Oh, that's right. Because you weren't used to all those comments.
I wasn't
like,
used to
it. With the views comes the comments.
I didn't used to any. I was just like this.
And you looked at every comment?
I didn't know not to.
You can't.
I was trying to respond and say hello and thank you. And
no.
I would try to comment. Thank you so much for the nice words. I appreciate it. And then people would say, and people would be like, why didn't you get back to me? And I was like, I didn't know.
They took it personal.
But no, there was no rule book. And it was the middle of the pandemic.
So why don't you hire a moderator to filter through that?
Well, when I first started, I didn't know about
it. You didn't know.
I was sitting alone in my apartment. It was the middle of the pandemic.
I didn't know you were reading every single comment.
I was trying to respond and say thank you to everybody.
Oh, my God.
I was so grateful people were watching. I was saying thank you, my God. Thank you so much.
That's insane, dude.
Yeah, I didn't know.
I like your therapist. It seems like your therapist is a good one. Like,
oh, yeah.
What other things did you learn from just going to therapy? Because you kind of sparked my interest as far as like that whole survival method of like being able to spot danger. And that's interesting to me, you know?
I think that the idea that the internet is something like you're standing on a dock and you're trying to move an ocean liner. You can't. No matter what you do, no matter how hard you try, people can take your words. Like, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can control.
Mm-mm.
So you have to let go because there's no control. And the point is, too, is with these companies, we don't even know if they're running it or if they have AI running it. Like, we don't know who's responding to us. I don't know the technology, meaning if I message Meta about a problem I'm having, I usually will get back a response that's about 70-80% of what I asked, but not 100%. So I don't know enough to know, and they don't tell you.
If generic responses.
I don't know. In fact, I went on a live once on Meta, and I got banned for 72 hours. And I messaged him. I go, I just turned the button, and I said hi. I didn't even say it. And I go, what policy did I break? And they sent me back a message saying, it's our policy not to let you know what policy you broke, but here's our policies. And you go, well, what does that mean? What? It's our policy not to let... And you go... So that's another thing I learned in therapy is I'm not going to be able to control this. I'm not going to be able to call somebody and change their mind and say, hey, don't be mean to that lady. You know, that lady got a hard, tough, enough time. Like, I'm not the dude to do that to. And you're...
So what do you do now? Like, what has changed?
I just block them. I don't even think. It's literally like...
So you don't even give them the opportunity to read it.
I don't even... I read it, I see it, I block. It's literally like, you know, if you have a crumb on it and you go like this.
I like that analogy.
That's, I don't even.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
And then how has your mental health benefited from doing this?
I'm not there yet. It's still very hard. And these live matches are very hard.
Do you enjoy doing this?
I do, because I get to talk to people all over the world that are really kind.
So they're, for the most part, like...
Oh, amazing.
They're amazingly kind to you.
They'll tune in. Hi, how are you? Oh, what's your latest video about? Oh, what's going on? Oh, how's your back? What's going on? Oh, you got a new picture behind you. Oh, like just...
Oh, wow.
They're so fucking nice.
And then what time do you do this and how long do you do this a day?
So today I was like, I'm going to walk on the treadmill. Well, I'll just do it on the treadmill.
Really?
Oh, I'm going to go on a walk. I don't know, 2 in the afternoon, 2 in the morning, 3:45, 2:46, 87.
Just do it.
I could literally go on there right now and just start live streaming and people will pop on. They're so kind.
So it's live streaming. Okay, so that's, for the most part, you're live streaming.
No, I do both. I still post videos all the time.
I know you do that though, but this whole TikTok competition thing, it is live streaming, but there's another person involved.
It's live streaming. The hard part of it is, and by the way, I'm only 30 something days into this, so 31 days. So I'll do a match and boy, I make a bunch of money. Holy shit. And then you'll go for 3 hours and make like $23.
So how's that?
And then all of a sudden, boy, you make a bunch of money. It's literally
what's
like
the dopamine. You're getting dopamine, man.
It's literally like,
it's like a video game.
No, take one step further. It's like a slot machine in Vegas.
Oh yeah.
And the screen is like, I could show you this screen. I'll show you what it looks like and we can do it.
This looks like this seems like maybe a GA, a Gambler's Anonymous type, you know, because there's.
That's the screen. That's the screen.
Oh my God.
That's the screen right there.
So it's like the ding 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 ding. Ding 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 ding. So it's an addiction then. In a way it is. You could get addicted to this. Because you're making, it's like dopamine, man.
I'm 30 days into it. I can tell you, I'm 31 days. I've streamed all 31 days. And there are huge people doing this. Like huge people doing it, making ridiculous money. There's dudes making 20 grand a day doing this.
What?
I'm nowhere near that.
What?
Oh, yeah.
20 grand a day?
I'll watch somebody make in 2 hours, 25 grand. I'll watch it. You can see the numbers. Like, I count the numbers. They show you the numbers. You go, okay, that guy just made this. You take half. They get half. They get you can see. Yeah. The biggest people in the world.
And people just give money, throw money at this.
If you have 2,000 people on your live, right?
Yeah.
And they each give $2.
Oh, geez.
And you have new viewers every 27 seconds. That's the average.
What incentivizes them to give money, though?
So a lot of them, at least from what I've asked, because I've asked that question, they said, we know what you're doing. We know that these apps don't really pay you a lot of money. Now, long form, they pay you. Short form, what I do, we don't get very much.
It's like YouTube Shorts, right?
Yeah, you don't get paid. Yeah, I mean, you make a living, not a life, you know? Yeah, but you don't. Yeah. So most of them say, we like what you're doing. We like what you're trying to spread into the world, and we want to support you. This is just basically an excuse. They go, we're having fun. We get to hang out and talk to you, and that's great. And it's our entertainment. A lot of them go, like I said, the one lady, she goes, this is my break from reality. I teach special ed, and it's very intense. And she goes, this is my guilty pleasure is what she said.
And then $2. Bing, ding, 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 ding.
Let's say she watches for an hour and a half and gives, I'm just making it up. Let's say if she gives $8.
Even if it's a dollar, that's something. I mean, that's something. Man.
And also, you don't know what some people have. Some people might have $100 million in the bank, and they go, this is my entertainment.
Right.
You know? And I really go out of my way because I actually do care. Like, I do want to chat with them. Like,
yeah,
I'll follow
yeah,
up. There was a lady who was... Iowa, I think, and she just had a tornado or something, and I messaged her, like, hey, just checking to make sure you're all right, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm very grateful.
Can we start plugging this stuff too? Like,
yeah, it's just my name, Josh Nasser. It's like NASA, the space program. NASAR, Josh Nasser. N as in Nancy, A as in Apple, S as in Sam, AR, across all platforms. So if you just Google my name, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Snapchat.
And you're constantly doing so. You're constantly uploading. Content.
Yeah.
You're doing it.
I'm so grateful that I don't have to wait anymore.
That car idea is brilliant, man. Like, what made you think? I mean, that's a great
idea. During the pandemic, right?
Yeah.
We can't be near people, of course. But I go, I still want to perform. So I would just drive around. I'm in my car. You're more than 6 feet away in your car. Hidden cameras. We don't have to talk.
How many cameras do you have? GoPros or what's the deal?
Six cameras. I hired the gentleman who outfitted James Corden's car for karaoke. He was one of the people. He did my car. So I spent a bunch of money on it, all the money I owned. And I have like trail cars and boob. Like if we really want to do a full TV production, because eventually what I want to do is I want to have celebrities.
Oh, you invested like that where it's like legit cameras. Like yeah.
I've already shot, like I shot with one of the Impractical Jokers, Sal Volcano, and he sat in the car and we had a trail car with the headphones and yeah, we shot.
How'd you know what to get? Like,
The guy told me. He gave me a shot list of a
he's
list.
Like, you need this type need of camera this. On it was this a list. Corner.
You need this. And he came out with me. And we went like this, and we went like this, and we taped this, and we Velcroed this, and we put blackout tape here, and we put tinted window, and we tried this, and then I got side mirrors, and I had them hollowed out, but that didn't work, so we tried that. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Was it one place you got all this stuff from?
One place got all the stuff, and then we went to different places to try to get it installed and all that. Yeah, I wanted to change my life, and I was sick and tired of waiting for Hollywood, as I've said a couple times. And yeah, I mean, I'm pretty grateful.
So you have your own movie studio and your own car.
Yeah.
Do you take it? You take it in at night, right? Obviously.
Oh yeah, the whole thing can be dismantled in like 12 minutes.
That's it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm very yeah. Thank you. So I'm working hard.
So you found your lane.
Yeah.
You literally found your lane, and yeah.
I'm trying my best.
You're in your lane. You
know, now I just want to do, if you go to my website, by the way, and you want me to do stand-up comedy, joshnassar.com. There's literally a button there. You can request me to come to your city. As soon as I get 300 requests to a certain city, anywhere in the world I can go, that's going to pay for my flight, ground, transportation, hotel, everything. So go to my website, joshnassar.com, and you'll see a big button. You tap it in. Oh, I got new merch on there too, but I literally just dropped it. It's literally today. And it says, kindness is contagious. I got a hat and a shirt. And then also,
get
one of my
lines.
Get yours today. Yeah, get yours. I like this. Get yours
get
today.
Get yours today.
And then I have one. Excuse me, could you do me a favor and maybe leave some women for the rest of us? That's a big line that I have that has like a billion views.
Oh, is that one of your taglines?
Yeah. I pull up next to guys who go, excuse me, can you do me a favor and maybe leave some women for the rest of us?
And they laugh.
And they giggle, yeah.
For the most part.
Because they're like, what? And then they realize, oh, I'm being silly.
Right.
And yeah,
and
I post.
It's they obviously have to have a woman in the car.
No,
good man. Well, you could just be a good looking guy. Like,
I've said it.
You could just say it to anybody.
Any guy, any girl.
I thought it had to be the right context.
Nope.
Oh, there you go.
People are people.
Yeah,
none of it matters.
There you go.
Black,
like
white,
doing,
green,
man.
Orange. Yeah, I'm trying.
Okay, yeah. TikTok's biggest thing right here.
No, I don't know that. I don't think that's true. I don't think the biggest thing.
Subscribe.
Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Snapchat. I'm on all of them.
Josh Nassar.
NASAR.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Stevie Wiebe Show. If you want to help support this platform, go to patreon.com/Stevie Wiebe. I'm on Twitch now, so go to twitchtv.com/Stevie Wiebe. I'm doing Warzone now, but I'm looking to find a new game. So I just downloaded Stardew Valley, and I might start playing that. I don't know. I'm learning how to play. If you want to send any packages, send your stuff to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California 90093. Dude, thank you for coming, man.
Thank you for having me.
The best
of
luck to you. I love what you're doing.
I'm trying, buddy.
stand.